This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan. The Republican Study Committee has released its Farm Bill budget targets for fiscal year 2025. The conservative congressional group is proposing the elimination of the sugar and dairy programs. It would cut the crop insurance premium subsidy by 14% and cap crop insurance benefits at $40,000. Overall farm payment limits of $500,000 are also recommended.
Grain elevator in southeastern North Dakota is apparently losing the option to move grain by rail to the Pacific Northwest. A decision by Canadian Pacific Railway is impacting shippers moving grain to the PNW, including Full Circle Ag at Foreman, North Dakota. Grain division manager Justin Ospie said CP will not match the BNSF freight rates prices at neighboring elevators.
So what that means for us as a CP loader, right now, we're $1,200 a car or 30 cents a bushel. So the geography we're in, we're surrounded by four BN shippers, or that can ship both CP or BN. So pretty much it puts us 30 cents out of the market.
Ospie said the elevator is seeking other options, but the PNW is a critical market.
For us, this is a huge deal. This is keep the lights on or shut them off kind of a deal. So if they don't come through or they don't do anything about it, get us close. We have to ship to the PNW. That's where the market is.
CP is honoring the contracts for May delivery, but once those train commitments are full, Ospie said the elevator's basis levels will widen by 30 cents.
The Duluth Seaway Port Authority says the first salty of the 2024 shipping season arrived at the Port of Duluth Superior yesterday. Duluth Seaway Port Authority Director of Communication and Marketing, Jason Rohn, says the arrival of the Portugal-flagged ship Barbo G is the second earliest arrival of an ocean-going vessel.
Our earliest ever arrival of the first salty was, of course, last year on March 28th. So an arrival on April 1st is close to that. The one previous April Fool's arrival was in 1995, and at the time, that was the port's earliest arriving ocean-going vessel ever. So since has been topped a few times and duplicated today.
Rohn says the Barbo G is scheduled to load nearly 21,000 tons of durum wheat at the Ceres Riverland Ag Facility on Rice Point.
Yeah, absolutely. Durum wheat, oftentimes it's spring wheat, but this year durum wheat, and last year was a shipment of cement. So yeah, durum wheat this year, and that's an exciting way to start the season for sure, and hopefully building on the positive momentum we saw for grain in general in Q4 2023.
The ship will carry her cargo to Algeria.
Walsh trading market analyst John Weir thinks we're seeing some weather influencing these grain markets.
Yeah, I think the avian flu story, we traded a headline, again, coming out of a long weekend. I think we stretched the rubber band too far, and you're seeing us buying back today, both in the live cattle and feeder. It seemed like those levels were below where we should be, even based on some of the headlines we're getting when we find out it's more contained and not spreading. But headlines are headlines, and people react to them.
Basis bids at the grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, remain mostly unchanged from the previous week. Corn basis ranges from 45 cents under the May futures to the north to 13 cents under the May futures at Worthington. Soybean basis ranges from $1.20 under the May soybean futures in the north to 76 cents under the May at Worthington. Spring wheat basis ranges from 65 cents under the May Minneapolis futures at Aberdeen, South Dakota, to 20 cents under the May at the Alton Grain Terminal. Finley Farmers Elevator did move their spring wheat basis to the July futures contract.
Bauer trading market analyst Ben Cash says the cattle markets are trying to rebound from yesterday's sell-off.
Yeah, that was a pretty nasty sell-off. I mean, that market is cattle market in general is pretty vulnerable given the price levels that we're at. It's going to be, you know, extreme volatility now. You know, we broke down some technical levels, so that market's going to be a little difficult to trade. You know, that the bird flu situation is part of the reason that we're seeing this volatility there. We're also seeing a pullback in the stock market. It seems like cattle prices have been kind of chugging along with that stock market recently, so a pullback here in the equities, you know, could bring some more weakness here to the cattle market. And just from a technical standpoint, there has been some chart damage done there.
USDA Undersecretary for Trade Alexis Taylor says South Korea is a growing agricultural market for the U.S.
Exports of U.S. food and agricultural products to Korea were just over $8 billion last year in 2023, really built upon the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, but also a really strong and strategic bilateral relationship that we have. That $8 billion of U.S. food and ag exports made Korea our fifth largest single country export market.
Taylor says there are a lot of different products going to South Korea. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping spoke by phone this morning, the call being described as a follow-up to their face-to-face meeting last year in California. A variety of topics were discussed, but it does not appear trade was part of that conversation.
Construction of the new Peltier building at NDSU should be completed this summer. NDSU Vice President for Agriculture Greg Lardy says the new building that will house several food and ag science programs will be an asset to students and research.
This building is going to be kind of one of the cornerstones in terms of, you know, being able to bring all of these different entities under one roof. And you know, from the standpoint of collaborative activities, having those scientists and faculty members and teachers all working together side by side with our students on these different projects, and, you know, for the betterment of all of the ag commodities and food processing that happens in the state and the region here, I think it's going to be a fantastic step forward.
The building will be unveiled to the public when it is complete.
We're looking forward to, you know, kind of unveiling it to the public, so to speak, in June. We're still working on some details around what that'll look like, but we're planning some ribbon cutting ceremonies on June 12th. And so we just would mention that, you know, the public will be invited to that, and it'll be a great celebration of getting into that building.
NDSU Extension Livestock Specialist Carl Hoppe says there are measures ranchers can take and supplies to have on hand to keep calves and herds healthy this calving season.
These old calves can tend to have issues that show up that can spread to younger calves. So things like scours can reach from one calf to another calf, and that type of thing can spread pretty fast, and you want to do everything you can to prevent it. If you're talking about calving difficulties, you should have lubrication, gloves, snares, calf puller, whatever's needed to help assist in calving. It's always good to have a sled or some way to move a calf from where it was born up to a barn. You know, you got to be with them and watch them, and things will still happen, so don't take it too hard when things don't work out the way you want to, because we're all in the same boat. Things just happen that are out beyond your control, even though you're there.
And knowing when to intervene is a herd-by-herd and cow-by-cow consideration.
You got to know your cow herd. Some cows need intervention, but it's up to you to decide when intervention is needed. Now, sometimes we get a little bit of overzealous and provide more attention than when the cow is ready to have attention, and that can create more problems because of your assistance. Be aware of the situation. You learn by the school of hard knocks, but know when to intervene and how much to intervene, and don't get hurt.
USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, APHIS, says now is a good time to look for signs of invasive insects on plants and foliage. APHIS Plant Protection and Quarantine Program Policy Manager Catherine Bronski says it's time to watch for hungry pests.
So what are hungry pests? They are highly damaging invasive insects and diseases that people can unknowingly spread. These invasive insects and plant diseases cost the U.S. an estimated $40 billion each year in damages to crops, trees, and other plants. Some examples of hungry pests in your area are spongy moths that lay egg masses that can be transported accidentally on firewood and outdoor items.
Bronski says to be on the lookout for these pests.
A good resource to find out what everything is that I'm describing is if you go to hungrypest.com, click on the state tracker, and you can find information specific to your state and also how to report signs of these invasive pests. You can click on, again, that state tracker, go to your state plant health director, and find the contact information there.
North Harvest Bean Growers Association Executive Director Mitch Coulter expects planted acres of dry beans this season to be about on target, looking at the latest USDA planting intentions numbers.
Well, this is always kind of the first crack at it as far as USDA NAS data and the survey data from the farmers. And we do see a small increase for dryable beans and what it means for North Dakota and Minnesota is about 120,000 acres is what they're estimating as an increase. Of course, you see varying models on that. I've seen as high as up to 170,000 acres. But that's pretty much a safe zone for us. You know, if we look at overall production, that would put us at about 860,000 acres overall.
Other commodity prices means planting dry beans may be more attractive.
Dry beans is right at the top. We do pretty good year in, year out. Of course, they're not as easy to grow, but you know, some of the things that we look at, conventional cropping systems, corn, soybeans, wheat, are a little bit down on pricing, and so there's an opportunity for us there. But more so as we saw some of our minor bean crops. You know, when we're talking minor bean crops, we're talking small red beans and pinks and cranberries. They did give up some of the acres, and we saw them move more towards navy, pintos, and kidneys.
Go to rfn.com, sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. That FarmNet news will hit your email box every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. EPA has approved the registration of a new Corteva herbicide for cereal grains. Product manager Drew Clark says Tolvera will be available for the 2025 growing season.
Tolvera is going to be a novel chemistry from Corteva for the cereals market that's going to provide effective broadleaf and foxtail weed control in cereal crops. So distinct formulation here, so two modes of action, including tolpyrrolate, which is a new active ingredient in the cereals market.
Tolvera will manage hard-to-control weeds like water hemp, kochia, and Russian thistle.
I think one of the biggest benefits specifically for that Northern Plains region is that rotational flexibility. So Tolvera is going to allow growers to be more flexible in their planting decisions, enabling crop rotation to lentils, peas, potatoes, soybeans, giving a 9-month plant back rotation to most major crops. So I think that's, you know, those are the key main benefits there of what Tolvera brings to the growers in the Northern Plains.
Farmer sentiment increased by 3 points to a reading of 114 in the latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Farmers' view of current conditions fell 2 points, which was offset by a 5-point increase in future expectations. The report shows farmers expect their financial situation to increase over the next 12 months.
Minneapolis May wheat down 7.25 cents at 627.5. September down 7 at 646.75. Chicago wheat 11.25 lower at 545.75. Kansas City down 10.75. May corn futures down 9.25 at 426.25. July down 8.25 at 441. December corn 7.75 lower at 467. Soybeans May futures 11.75 cents lower at 11.74 1/4. August soybeans 10.75 lower at 11.87 3/4. November soybeans down 5.5 cents at 11.77. Live cattle April futures $1.72 higher at 181.80. June live cattle 80 cents higher at 176.12. August live cattle 95 cents higher. April feeders $2.62 higher. Lean hogs, May contracts down 12 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.